As we've studied this book, what we're looking for is the revealing of Jesus Christ. Now, I know what you're thinking. Earthquakes in New York, solar eclipse on Monday, earthquake in Taiwan. I'm going to bring all that together and tell you Jesus is coming on Tuesday. No. The reality is this. There doesn't need to be a solar eclipse. Jesus can come today. We're not looking for signs. We're not looking for events. The reality is this. All the prophecies have been fulfilled. Jesus could come at any moment. And we're living our lives not for the next event or the next social media sensation. We're living our lives to please the Lord Jesus Christ. And we're waiting for his return. And that return can come at any moment. So don't wait till Monday at 3 o'clock to get right with God. Get right today, because he could come today. And so God does all that. I understand. God put stars and all of that in the sky, but that's for his knowledge, not ours. And when we start to try to figure things out on our own, we start to go against the word of God. The Bible says this, no man knows the day or the hour. And it's not for us to know. It's not for us to know. It's for God to know. It's for us to be diligent about getting the gospel of Jesus Christ into this world. And so I hope none of us are here next Sunday. I hope that we all are raptured. That'd be a wonderful thing. We're going to be in Revelation chapter 20. And in this part of Revelation 20, I'll be honest with you, it is not the most exciting part to preach on. And it's the great white throne judgment. And we're going to look at this judgment, the great white throne judgment. It's in the Word of God, so we must look at it, but it's not a pleasant portion of Scripture to study, because this is a difficult portion. The Bible says this is when death and hell are cast into the lake of fire. This is when any hope that mankind has for salvation is done. This passage of Scripture ought not thrill the born-again believer. It ought to cause your heart to weep. Often this week, as I was studying through this passage of Scripture this morning in my office, I thought of that just in a sober way of, this is it. This is the final judgment for those that have not trusted Christ as their Savior. It's done. They're cast in the lake of fire, and there's no more hope. There's no more chances. If I could plead with you today, if you are here and you have never trusted Jesus Christ as your Savior, there's coming a day where there's no more hope. Today is the day of salvation. Trust Jesus Christ today. Don't play games with God. Because at any moment Jesus Christ can come, this is a serious matter today. But there's coming a time when God is going to have a final judgment. All through the book of Revelation to this point, we see God judging the earth, judging mankind. And those judgments are coming out through the trumpets that are sounded. They're coming out through the seals that are broken. And judgment is cast upon the earth. We find where there's earthquakes and there's brimstone. There's just all kinds of, there's wars. There's pestilence. There's famine that is going to come as judgment toward the earth. The seas are going to all that's alive in the seas, a third of it's going to die. We see these types of judgment, but this is going to be the final judgment where all mankind, the Bible says, the sea is going to give up her dead, the graves are going to give up their dead, those that do not know Christ as their Savior, they're going to stand before an almighty God, and this is going to be the final judgment. The unsaved dead are going to be raised to stand before God at this judgment. Look with me, if you would, please, as we begin reading in verse number 11 of chapter number 20. And I saw a great white throne, and him that sat on it, from whose face the earth and the heavens fled away, and there was found no place for them. And I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God, and the books were opened, And another book was opened, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged out of those things which were written in the books according to their works. And the sea gave up their dead which were in it. And death and hell delivered up the dead which were in them. And they were judged every man according to their works. And death and hell were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death. And whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast in the lake of fire. Probably one of the saddest verses in all the Bible, whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast in the lake of fire. Now, as we've studied the book of Revelation, we're coming to an end here. And this portion of this chapter is the final judgment that God's going to place upon those that have now rejected him. We come and we realize this. We've come, the purpose, chapter number one, is the revealing, to see who Jesus Christ is. As we've studied the book of Revelation this time around, we've studied it always looking for Jesus Christ, the revealing of Christ. Then we went into chapters 2 and 3 and we saw the church age, which is the age that we're living in today. He spoke to the seven churches. Those seven churches, they were specific churches of that time. But those churches of today, through all the generations since the writing of Revelation, every church can fit into one of those categories of those seven churches. Our church, Mount Clover Road Baptist Church, fits into one of those categories of those seven churches. We find the church age. Once the rapture, Jesus Christ is coming for his bride. The trump is going to sound, and the dead in Christ, the Bible says, are going to rise, and those that are alive and remain are going to be caught up in the clouds. Those that are saved are going to be resurrected from the grave. Those that are alive on the earth, they're going to be taken to heaven, and this is called the rapture. We've studied this. Then what's going to happen is immediately after the rapture takes place, we've studied the great tribulation is going to take place. I believe it's a seven-year period. The book of Daniel shows us this. In Revelation, we find this seven-year period where the majority of the book of Revelation we studied, the seals that are opened, the trumpets that are sounded, the judgment that's poured out upon the earth, the Antichrist is going to rule and reign. He's going to have peace in Israel. My goodness, I'm more looking at what's happening in Israel today than what's happening in the skies on Monday. The if you read Zechariah chapter number 14, you would find the nations of the earth are going to turn against Israel. What's happening? The nations of the earth are turning against Israel. Our nation, America, has always stood firm with Israel, and now we're wavering. The nations of the earth are calling for Israel to stop this war and not defend herself. I mean, this is getting to be something that I believe we're seeing. We're seeing the Word of God just come alive. This is where we need to keep our eyes. But this great tribulation is going to happen. And why do I even mention this? Because the Antichrist is going to come in. The world is going to turn against Israel, and the Antichrist is going to say, there can be peace. And he's going to come together, and he's going to offer peace to Israel. Israel is going to fall for this false peace. And about 3.5 years into the tribulation, the Antichrist is going to sit in the temple there in Jerusalem, and he's going to claim himself to be God. And Israel is going to realize this: we have put our faith in the wrong Messiah. The Antichrist is not the Messiah. He's a fraud. There's going to be great persecution against Israel. At the end of that seven-year period, that great tribulation, Jesus Christ is coming. Not this time, not in the clouds to receive his bride, but he is coming as the victor. He is coming to rule and to reign. He is coming and he is going to defeat Satan. He is going to take, and Satan is going to be bound for 1,000 years, and Jesus Christ is going to rule and reign on this earth for 1,000 years. It's called the millennial reign of Jesus Christ. After that millennial reign, we came to, now we're coming to chapter number 20, where after Satan is bound for 1,000 years, he's loosed. And I don't understand this, how you can be 1,000 years under the reign of Jesus Christ, and after 1,000 years, there's going to be some that are going to follow Satan once again. And then there's going to be this battle of Gog and Magog. This is going to be that final battle. where Satan is going to be defeated and Satan is going to be tossed into the lake of fire. Then there's going to be this great white throne judgment. The believers, those of us that have trusted Jesus Christ as our Savior, there's going to be the judgment seat of Christ that we're going to be at. This is not the judgment seat of Christ. This is going to be the great white throne judgment. This is a judgment that you don't want to be at. This is a judgment that God is going to judge the lost. When the lost stands before God, there's going to be no hope. There's going to be no mercy. There's going to be no grace. I want you to see, first of all, as we study this passage of Scripture, I want you to see the frightful setting of this judgment, the frightful setting of this judgment. And I saw a great white throne, and him that sat on it, for whose face the earth and the heavens fled away, and there was found no place for them. And I saw the dead, small and great, standing before God. The books were opened, and another book was opened, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged out of those things which were written in the books according to their works. Now, there's a difference between this great white throne judgment and the judgment seat of Christ, where the saved are going to stand at. When I stand before God at the judgment seat of Christ, my sins are forgiven because of Jesus Christ and the blood of Jesus Christ. When you have trusted Christ as your Savior, the blood of Jesus Christ is applied to your life and applied to your sins, and your sins are cast as far as the east is from the west. When you have trusted Christ as your Savior, you are not going to stand before God and be accountable for your sins. Your works are not going to be laid out, and God's not going to judge you based upon your works, because when he sees you, he sees the precious blood of Jesus Christ. This judgment, the great white throne judgment, is different. You see, this judgment is going to be the lost. The unsaved are going to stand at this judgment. This frightful setting of this judgment, first of all, we're going to see, the Bible calls it a great white throne judgment. Great because of its power. This the white because of its purity. There's going to be a pure God, a holy God, a powerful God sitting upon this throne. And mankind, in all of their works and all of their sins and all of the evilness that mankind has ever committed, is going to stand before a holy, powerful God. And they're going to give an account for every action, every thought, every deed that they've ever committed. The Bible says this. Great white throne, that throne stands for judgment. I want you to understand something. At this great white throne judgment, mercy is not going to be the verdict. Grace is not going to be the verdict. Judgment is going to be the verdict. Every single one that stands before God at this great white throne judgment, they will be judged for their works here upon this earth. I want you to see, first of all, we find this frightful setting. The reason why this is such a frightful setting is because the judge is the Lord Jesus Christ. It is God. The Bible says in verse number 12, "And I saw the dead and small and great stand before God." This is going to be those that have given to their sin. This is going to be those that have rejected Christ and his sacrifice. They're going to stand before a God, a holy God, a righteous God, the God of this universe. He is going to be the one that's going to judge. In Revelation chapter number 1, if you'll go there with me a few pages back, I want you to see the setting, what this is going to look like, this judge that's going to be here on this throne. Verse number 13 of Revelation chapter number 1, the Bible says this, "And in the midst of the seven candlesticks, one like unto the Son of Man, clothed with a garment down to the foot, girt about with paps and with a golden girdle. His head and his hairs were white like wool, as white as snow, and his eyes were as a flame of fire." His eyes being a flame of fire, meaning this, there's no lie that can be given. He will see through every work that you have ever done. He will know the truth. There's not a lie that can be given. If you stand before a judge in court, many a time somebody is going to plead innocent, even though they know they're guilty. No one is going to be able to plead innocent here as they stand before God. The judge is not going to try to determine if this person is telling the truth or lying. This judge will know the truth. He will look at you, his eyes being as fire. You'll stand before this judge, and your works will be judged by truth and honesty before this man, Jesus Christ. The Bible says his head and his hairs were white like wool, white as snow. His eyes were as a flame of fire, his feet like undefined brass, as what burned in a furnace, and his voice as the sounds of many waters. He's wearing the robe of a king and a judge. He's not making intercession for those that are here. He's not wearing the robe of a priest. He's wearing the robe of a king and a judge. He is making judgment upon them. His eyes being with fire. I want you to go with me to Hebrews chapter number 4. Would you go over there with me? Hebrews 4. We're going to be in several different passages of scripture today. If you're able to find that, wonderful. If not, just mark them in your margin of your notes, and I want you to go back and read these. But I want you to see Hebrews chapter number 4, verse number 13. The Bible says this: neither is there any creature that is not manifest in his sight. There's nothing hidden. But all things are naked and opened unto the eyes of him with whom we have to do. As these stand before God, no, God is not going to be fooled. At this time, God is not going to be mocked. Every unsaved person that stands at the white throne judgment, it's going to be as they're standing there naked, opened before God. God is going to see everything. Why? Because every deed, every work is written in a book. As God opens those books, every sin, every thought, every evil deed is going to be revealed to them. And God is going to, as a judge, judge them for their works. Eyes of fire. Feet like brass. This is a symbol of judgment. Voice like the sound of many waters. We've looked at this passage before, but just as a thought to understand what's happening at this great white throne judgment, the frightfulness of it. If you ever stood at great waters that are coming together, the sound of many waters coming together is difficult to even speak over. When God speaks, he's going to speak with authority and with power. The Bible says this: the earth and the heavens are going to flee away. Go back with me, if you would, please, in Revelation chapter 20. Something interesting about verse number 11. John says, as I see this great white throne and the Lord sitting on this throne, we see the description of the Lord that will be sitting on this throne that we just read in chapter number 1. The earth and heavens have fled away, and there was found no place for them. Thought about this description of this great white throne. Everything we know is gone. There's no place of safety. There's no place to run. There's no place to hide. When the unsaved stand before God at the great white throne judgment, there's going to be no excuses. There's going to be no place for them to go to. There's no place to hide from. When God is sitting on this throne, they're going to be face to face with the Lord. They're going to be face to face with the one that died for them. He's going to be face to face with the one that gave his life for them. And they're going to understand that moment that they rejected the one that could give them mercy. They rejected the one that could give them grace. They rejected the one that could give them salvation. And every sin that they've ever committed is laid out before them, and there's no place to hide. The frightfulness of this. You ever, growing up, you ever, your mom ever say this to you? Just wait till your dad gets home. And then you prayed that dad was going to work overtime. You prayed that dad was going to get lost on the way home. Maybe meet friends for dinner. Maybe take a vacation. You dreaded dad's coming home. You listened. Of all days, you realized, boy, I even realized the sound of dad's car because I heard it pulling in the driveway. And dad's coming in, and before dad can get in, mom's at the front door, and you know what she's saying. And dad just looks at you. Maybe he motions you. Maybe he pulls you by the collar. I don't know. If you had a dad like mine, you went into the bedroom, and that was not the place you wanted to be. And it didn't matter what you had to say. Dad always believed mom. It's the one part of their marriage I didn't like. It didn't matter. Dad never said to me, tell me your side, tell me your story. He said, Mom said. And it hurt for hours after that. It was just me and Dad. Listen to me. It's going to be a time where mankind that has rejected Jesus Christ, they're going to be face to face with God. And there's going to be no mercy. There's not going to be no place to run. There's going to be no place to hide. There's going to be no safe place. Your sins are going to be laid out before God. And you're going to be judged. The frightfulness of this great white throne judgment. Number two, I want you to see this in verse number 12. And I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God. The books were opened. Another book was opened, which is the book of life, and the dead were judged out of those things which were written in the books according to their works. And the sea gave up the dead which were in it. Death and hell delivered up the dead which were in them, and they were judged every man according to their works. I want you to see the authoritative summons that's delivered at this judgment. The Bible says this, first of all, the dead, small and great. You mark this down. There is not a single person that's going to get away with anything when it comes to this judgment. If you watch right now, and I know some of it's politics, but probably some of it's truthfulness. There's a two-tiered system here in our nation. It seems like the wealthy get away with whatever they want to get away with. The political elite get away with whatever they want to get away with. There's a two-tiered system. Oh, listen to me. There's not going to be a two-tiered system at this judgment. It doesn't matter how much money you have. It doesn't matter your name. It doesn't matter your fame. It doesn't matter your wealth. It doesn't matter how poor you are. There's nothing that you're going to be able to stand and say, but I am this, or I am that, or I've done this, or I've possessed this. And that doesn't matter how great you are or how small you are. Not a person is going to get away. When God calls the dead that have rejected him, when God calls the lost to stand before this judgment, it doesn't matter what you've accused. Accumulated on this earth, every single man, every single woman that has rejected Christ, no matter who you are, no matter what your name is, no matter what side of the tracks you are raised on, you will stand before an almighty God. Amen. And you will give an account of your life. The ones who hate God and the ones who resist God are going to stand on this day. There are some today, I hope they're not in this room, but if you're in this room and you hate God and you're resisting God, I want you to understand that you will stand at the judgment, at this great white throne judgment, you will stand before God and you will give an account for your hatred toward God, for your works against God, for your resistance against God. You will stand and you will give an account. The first group of people that I will see at this, that'll be here at this great white throne judgment are those that hate God. There are people today in our world that hate God and they're resisting God. Oh, listen to me, those that think that the Word of God is wrong, those that are standing opposed to the Word of God, those that are stumbling their noses at God, those that are saying that there is no God, I want you to know that you will stand before a day and you will bow and you will say that there is a God, but you will not bow because He is your Lord. You will bow because He is your judge. Second group of people that are going to be here, the ones who hate God, and the second are going to be the self-righteous. There are going to be people here, they're just good people. And some people think they're just too good to go to hell. I mean, they're legitimately good people. They give to the poor. They donate their time. They donate their resources. They're good people. They live morally good lives, but because they do these good things, they think that they're going to have heaven because of their works and because of their self-righteousness. But oh, listen to me today, there's going to be some that hate God, that resist God, that are going to stand before this great white throne judgment. And there's going to be some that will stand before God thinking, I'm a good person. But being a good person doesn't keep you from standing at this judgment. The only thing that'll keep you from standing at this judgment is that the blood of Jesus Christ has been applied to your life. You can't be a good person. You can't do enough good to keep yourself from hell. Oh, listen to me. Doing good is a wonderful thing, but doing good for your self-righteousness is not going to work on this day. Thirdly, I think there's going to be a group of people. These are the ones who wait, who continue to put it off. And maybe that's a group of people that's here today. You've heard the gospel. You're just not ready to receive it. I've witnessed to people, and they've said this today. I'm not ready to do that today. Some say, I want to live my life a little bit more. I want to enjoy the things of this world before I give my life to Christ. Oh, listen to me. There's going to be some that meant to trust Christ that continue to put it off. They procrastinated, but they will stand before Christ. You've heard the gospel, but you've resisted the gospel. You've heard the gospel, but you've put it off. Oh, listen to me. Don't put it off any longer, because if Jesus Christ were to come today, if you were to stand before God at this great white throne judgment, the excuse of I've heard it, I know it, I know I need to do it, it's too late. Be saved today. Fourthly, I want you to see this. These are the religious. They have religion, but they don't have salvation. They believe because they follow church rituals and church traditions that they find favor with God. They think because they put their faith in a church, because of that, they've found favor with God. There's going to be religious ones that are standing at this great white throne judgment because they have put their faith in the wrong thing. Putting your faith in this church will not save you. Putting your faith in any church will not save you. Putting your faith in the waters of baptism will not save you. Putting your faith in any religious ritual will not save you. The only thing that can give you everlasting life, the only thing that gives you salvation, is by putting your faith in Jesus Christ and Jesus Christ alone. Paul said this in 2 Corinthians 13:5, to examine yourself to be sure that you are in the faith. I believe that Jesus is coming soon. I see the events of this world. I see prophecy fulfilled. I'm reading through and preaching through the book of Revelation. You see things just adding up. Examine yourself. Are you in the faith? Are you putting your faith in Jesus Christ, or are you putting your faith in the fact that you grew up in church? Are you putting your faith in the fact that your parents were Christians? Are you putting your faith in the fact that you do good things and you're an honest person? If that is what you're putting your faith in, you will stand at this great white throne judgment. I want you to see the authoritative. Secondly, as I mentioned, the authoritative summons that's delivered. We find the dead, small and great, are going to be summons to this, no matter who you are. The next thing I want you to see is this: the places they're called from. The authoritative summons, the places they're called from. The Bible says the sea gave up their dead. Wherever their body was laying, they're coming from the dead. Hell gave up their dead. Death has the body. Hell has the soul. Some may say this, what does this mean? Hell gave up their dead. Isn't that where, when you die, is that where hell, think about this. Hell is just the county jail. The lake of fire is the prison. The hell is just the holding place that mankind that dies without Christ is held in. The lake of fire is where mankind will be cast for all of eternity once this judgment seat, this great white throne judgment, takes place. I want you to see the authoritative power of this summons. Go with me, if you would please, to Acts chapter 17. Acts chapter 17. No man is going to be able to resist this. There's going to be no one that can skip this. There's some, and we've got some men in our church that they go after people that have skipped bail or not shown up for court, or they have warrants out for their arrest. Oh, listen to me. You're not going to get away from this judgment. When you're summoned to this judgment because of the authority of God and because of the power of God, you're not hiding anywhere. There's no one that's going to be sent out to find you. You will stand before God because God has authority, because God has all power. Look with me, if you would, please, in chapter number 17 of the book of Acts, in verse number 31. Because he hath appointed a day. This day is appointed by God, in the which he will judge the world in righteousness by that man whom he hath ordained. Who is that man he hath ordained? That is Jesus Christ. So God has appointed a day. He has appointed a judge. That day is this great white throne judgment. That judge is the Lord Jesus Christ. He is appointed as righteousness by that man whom he hath ordained, whereof he hath given assurance unto all men in that he hath raised him from the dead. You see, last week we re-celebrated the resurrection of Jesus Christ. And that's why I say it is a celebration. The resurrection is only a celebration for those that have trusted Jesus Christ as their Savior. Because there's nothing to celebrate for one that denies Christ. There's nothing to celebrate for one that opposes Christ. Because of the resurrection of Jesus Christ, because he rose again, because he's King of Kings, because he's Lord of Lords, because he has defeated death, he will stand and he will judge. Because of the resurrection of Jesus Christ, Christ will judge the lost. And all those that have denied Christ, all the lost will stand before him, and the judge is alive. Listen to me, that judge is not dead, that judge is alive. And the unsaved will be raised for this judgment. The judge will stand there in all authority, in all power. He will be at this great white throne judgment, and every single person that is guilty will stand before this judge, and they will give an account of their life, and they will be given the same sentence, and that sentence is death for all of eternity in the lake of fire. Thirdly, I want you to see this. I want you to see the secrets that are revealed at this judgment. Go back to Revelation chapter 20, in verse number 12. Revelation chapter 20, verse number 12. And I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God, and the books were opened. Another book was opened, which is the book of life, and the dead which were judged out of those things which were written in the books, according to their works. Would you write this down? Nothing escapes the knowledge of God. There's a vile, wicked man, Epstein, that died in prison. And I heard this said of him. When he died, his secrets died with him. Oh, how wrong that news journalist is. When he died, his secrets didn't die with him. Every deed he's ever done is written in a book. And it may not be opened up in a court in our country, but oh, it's going to be opened up in a courtroom called the Great White Throne Judgment, and he will stand before an almighty God, and every single evil, vile work he's ever done, it is going to be presented before him, and his judgment is going to be death in the lake of fire. Listen to me, Christian, don't get discouraged because you think the lost is getting away with their sin. Lost man, don't get too proud because you think you're getting away with your sin. Because every single thing done in this flesh is recorded in a book. And the righteous judge is going to sit on this great white throne, and he's going to open this book, and every single secret that's ever been done is going to be cast in front of all mankind, and you are going to be judged for that. Nothing, no one can escape the knowledge of God. Go with me, if you would, please, to Ecclesiastes 12. Ecclesiastes 12, verse number 14. Ecclesiastes 12, 14, the Bible says this, "For God shall bring every work into judgment with every secret thing, whether it be good or whether it be evil. There is nothing that is going to escape in Almighty God. Go with me to Romans chapter number 2, if you would please. Romans chapter number 2, verse number 16. The Bible says this: in the day when God shall judge the secrets of men by Jesus Christ according to my gospel. Oh, you mark it down. There are no secrets at the great white throne judgment. There's no secrets with God. He knows all, and all is going to be revealed at this judgment. All that is done outward or in secret are going to be revealed at this great white throne judgment. And lastly, I want you to see this. I want you to see the sentence of this judgment. The sentence of this judgment. And this is where I say to you, church, this is got to break the heart of every believer. I've tried in every passage of Scripture we've preached and tried to not just preach knowledge, but also application in every chapter. We were looking for Christ, who Christ is. We see Christ in this passage of Scripture. He is the righteous judge. He's the one sitting on this throne. He's the one that has everything recorded. He's the one that's going to cast death and hell into lake of fire. We see Christ. We see the ones that are going to stand at this great white throne judgment. But this is not something where we as believers can say, glad we won't be there. Because there's people we know that will be. There's neighbors and friends and coworkers. There's family. They're going to stand at this great white throne judgment. And this is what ought to cause you to have some pause in your life. This is where the Christian that never shares the gospel of Jesus Christ cannot be right with God. You say, well, I'm just afraid to do this. Afraid to do what? Send people to hell? It's just not what I'm called to do. I don't have the gift of evangelism. You don't have the gift of evangelism. You have a command to go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. This will change the way you think. Because the sentence at this judgment is eternal death. The Bible says in Romans 14, 11 and 12 that every one of us shall give an account unto God. Here at this judgment seat, verses 14 and 15, let's read this together. And death and hell were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death. And whosoever was not found written in the books of life was cast into the lake of fire. In this judgment, the judge is going to judge according to their works. There's no grace. There's no mercy. There's only judgment. Right now is the day of grace. Right now, the Bible says, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Right now, if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. Today. Today is the opportunity for you and I to share the gospel of Jesus Christ with a world that needs Jesus. That's why last month, the month of March, our missions emphasis month, why do we bring in missionaries? Why do we support missions? Why do we ask you to give to missions? Why do we even talk about missions? Because there's coming a great white throne judgment that mankind is going to stand before a God, and there's not going to be grace, and there's not going to be mercy. It's going to be judgment and death and lake of fire. But we have a day today until that time to share the glorious gospel of Jesus Christ. How much do you have to hate somebody to not tell them about Jesus Christ? Can I say this to you, church? It doesn't matter what color of skin, what nationality someone is. It doesn't matter their political view. It doesn't even matter their religious view. We as Bible-believing Christians ought to have a heart to see the lost souls saved. Because if they do not trust Christ as their Savior, they are going to stand at this great white throne judgment without hope. Today, if you were to be accused of a crime, you would stand in a courtroom. In that courtroom, they would present the evidence and you would have an opportunity to plead guilty or innocent, and you could plead your case. And there's a 50-50 chance. There's a 50-50 chance that the jury would believe what you would have to say, even if you're lying, and say that you're innocent and you go free. Not this courtroom. Because everyone standing in this courtroom is guilty. And the judge is righteous. And the judge is going to judge according to their works. Not according to grace, not according to mercy, but according to their works. The books are going to be opened, or the evidence is going to be revealed. And every thought and every deed and every sin is going to be revealed of all mankind. There'll be no defense. As it's revealed before an almighty God, the one standing there is just simply going to say, guilty. There's no argument. Every thought is they're going to be reminded of. Every deed they're going to be reminded of. And the verdict is going to be handed down. And the verdict that's handed down is going to be, you are cast into the lake of fire for all of eternity. Oh, Christian, if that doesn't make you weep, if that doesn't move your heart, then you are cold. If that doesn't do something to the church, if that doesn't start a fire within the church to live a life for the Lord Jesus Christ, telling the lost of who Christ is, then there is something wrong. This is not something that we rejoice in. This is something that ought to grieve us. Because mankind, just like you and me, are going to spend eternity in a devil's lake of fire unless they trust Christ. So my message today is, if you do not know Christ as your Savior, would you trust Him today before it's too late? Would you stop procrastinating? I plead with you. Would you trust Christ as your Savior? I beg of you, consider Christ. And if you are a saved individual today and you are born again, then I beg of you, would you live a life for the Lord Jesus Christ, sharing the glorious gospel to a lost world? Your neighbors need the gospel. Toledo needs the gospel. Ohio needs the gospel. America needs the gospel. This world needs the gospel. What will you do with the gospel of Jesus Christ?